Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with Luann Crane, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson.
As today, Doctor, we pick up on a conversation we began last time, and of course, no surprise to you, that time went flying by, so let's dive right into it today.
My heart was thumping the whole way, I can tell you. Our guest was Alan Sears, the president and general counsel of the Alliance Defending Freedom Organization. And Alan and I have been friends for a long, long time. We've fought many battles. We got the dirt of foxholes on our bodies and on our faces. But we're going to hang in there, right, Alan?
We sure are. And, Doctor, I think back on some of the battles we fought together, and I also think of some of the amazing victories that God allowed us to be part of, legislative victories in the Congress, the Senate. Then when he brought up this new ministry with the legal work almost 20 years ago, he's now allowed hundreds of cases to be won in the middle of this very dark time on many of these issues.
Remind us of what the mission is of ADF.
The ultimate purpose of Alliance Defending Freedom is to keep the door open for the spread of the gospel, to protect the good news of Jesus Christ so that all may hear what our God came to make available to every boy and girl, man and woman that ever lived.
And you do that largely through the law.
And we do it through the courts, through the legal system.
And you've got many, many attorneys that work pro bono to get this done.
Well, the Lord's blessed us through a combination of strategy, training, funding, litigation to now raise up an army of over 2,200 allied attorneys who have now reported back more than $150 million worth of pro bono that's donated dedicated time to the body of Christ involving hundreds of cases. We've been involved directly with the lawyers on our team in litigating a few hundred other cases. And God's blessed us to have a track record of about close to 80% wins in the middle of this. Again, as I say, we have a dark time, but he keeps allowing us to see victory and to let light shine because people have courage to stand. And one of the things that you've been very great in the partnership with us from the beginning as one of the founders of our ministry, Dr. Dobson, is to help raise up clients, men and women who have courage to say, we will not surrender our faith, we will stand, and we will take whatever steps are necessary to protect the rights of others to do the things that our Constitution and our country were meant to allow us to do.
Well, I've been in this battle and many others for nearly 40 years, and I don't think there is anything that I've been involved in that I feel more strongly about than your organization. And there were five of us that got together and helped put the principles together and help raise money. I think the first year I gave you $100,000 from our budget, and that was money very well spent. And so thank you for your hard work, because it was tough for you. I know that. You came in having been an assistant attorney general in Louisville, wasn't it?
I was an assistant U.S. attorney and, of course, spent time in the Justice Department and Interior Department in Washington.
Took a job with no guarantee of a salary. we can't go into all that.
We could spend a couple hours talking about the iffies and whiffies and maybes of starting a new Christian ministry. But bottom line was, friends were great, God was good, and here we are today.
Amen. Well, and there we were yesterday. I think that was one of the most powerful programs that we've done in several years because of the issues that are right now before us. This country is going to change radically, probably in the rest of this year, according to decisions that are being handed down. And we're going to have to react when those occur. And we spent our time yesterday talking about Obamacare and how, despite President Obama promising people that abortion would not be part of this nationalized health care, and he spoke to a joint session of Congress and made all kinds of promises, and he's violated almost all of them to this point. And one of them has to do with abortion. I would like you just very quickly to talk about the $1 a month charge to people of conscience, to everybody.
Well, one of the things that people have discovered when they went through this bill that is so thick that only a handful of people have really read and studied and mastered the whole document is a charge that will be concealed to people when they go out to buy health insurance that will be in many policies without people's knowledge that will charge about, and I say about because no one knows what the final regulation
will
be.
It's actually a floor. It will not be less than a dollar,
yes.
But it could be $100. It could be any number.
Yeah, we don't know how it's going to be applied. It's like so many of these other vagaries. But bottom line is, left unchanged, unchallenged, we could see most Americans, without even knowing it, funding surgical abortion. And this is on top of what we spent time yesterday on, the Obamacare abortion pill mandate, which is decreed that every employer fund these various pills, which people are standing up and fighting against and having some real success in doing so.
And now people listening to us could say, well, a dollar a month, that's $12 a year. That's not a really big deal. I shouldn't really get excited about that. Even if it stays at a dollar, which it won't, if you consider the number of people we are talking about, a dollar a month amounts to more than $950 million in accumulated money for the abortion cause, nearly $1 billion, and it's going to rise. It's more than that. That was a lie that we were told by our president.
Well, we've already seen the travesty of nearly $500 million a year being allocated from our tax dollars to Planned Parenthood. And we've seen that Planned Parenthood has aggressively grown, that they've aggressively involved themselves in every form of taking of human life from people at every age and with all sorts of campaigns that are very deceptive and very confusing. Our ministry is involved in a number of direct challenges to Planned Parenthood. A number of the former executive directors of Planned Parenthood clinics have come forward. They've been converted by watching what went on in those clinics, and they've said, no more. We will not be part of the taking of innocent human life. And they've brought a number of legal actions through our ministry, and I pray with God's grace we'll be able to attack all of this in due course.
You know, just a couple of weeks ago, I signed a letter along with other pro-life leaders to the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, complaining about and asking him to end the fact that we in America borrow money from China. So what he is doing, in effect, by supporting a bill that allowed Planned Parenthood to continue to be supported at the rate of $550 million per year, we borrow that money, we pay interest on it, and then it goes to kill babies. Mm-hmm. And asking him to stop that practice. And I've been talking about that for 20 years, and the Republicans have not been willing to withdraw that funding from Planned Parenthood, and I sure wish they would. Now, I'm going too fast. I'm on a roll. Ryan, I'm going to turn to you. You ask the next question, and then Luann, you got the next one.
Well, let's jump into marriage. Mm-hmm. Our president said that the Attorney General didn't have to defend the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. Which seems really irresponsible that a president would come out and say, yes, I know this is, you know, federal law, but we're not going to defend that anymore.
It was passed by both houses of Congress and signed by President Clinton.
But yet they were enforcing it just enough to require the courts to have to make a decision, which is very troubling to all of us that were involved in this. And of course,
so it's before the Supreme Court,
and,
right?
And there are now two marriage cases before the Supreme Court. And just to give a very fast overview, the voters of California, 7 million voters, voted to define marriage as between one man and one woman in the Proposition 8 case. And then there was another case involving a couple that claimed to be married, a same-sex couple, two women under New York state law, and one of the women died and the other partner had to pay a large amount of income tax. It was a multi-million dollar estate. And she claimed that she should have been entitled to certain exemptions under marital exemptions under the law. And this is what the Obama administration first said we won't defend DOMA, or the Defense of Marriage Act. Then they said, well, we actually will come out against it. And the Solicitor General, President Obama's lawyer, argued in federal court and in the Supreme Court against marriage under the Defense of Marriage Act. And just one more little placeholder in terms of background. The Defense of Marriage Act essentially does two things. One set of provisions provide for a definition of marriage for federal law and federal programs. The other part of Defense of Marriage Act said that it's up to each state to define marriage as they always have, and that no state can force another state to recognize an invalid marriage in their state. Just for example, under current marriage law, Dr. Dobson, there is a difference on cousins being married. In some states, a different degree of cousin than another degree of cousin can marry. And that has worked just fine under the federal system for 200 plus years. But now, the argument in court is that the federal government cannot define for federal government purposes, for all of us as taxpayers, what marriage means, that we must adopt some other view, and they're arguing the Constitution prohibits it. In the California Proposition 8 case, they're arguing the individual states and the citizens cannot define marriage. So ultimately,
and 30 other states have done it.
And we've got 30 states who've amended their constitutions to provide protection for what has always been understood as marriage. Despite all the various little degrees and differences in how marriage is recognized, it's always been in America between a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. About 100 years ago, we fought over the polygamy issue. In fact, one of the two founding purposes of the Republican Party, you remember, was to stop polygamy. And all of the Western states that came in.
I have read about that, Alan. I don't remember it. That was 1850, wasn't it?
Well, you know, that's just how our children refer to us, Dr. Dobson. They say back before there were cars and airplanes. But in all seriousness, what we face now in June, back to Ryan's original question, are two Supreme Court decisions that will be decided before the court goes into final adjournment before the end of June of this year. One of those decisions will decide whether or not the federal government can define marriage, the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA. The other one will decide something about the right of the people to amend their constitutions to define marriage as between a man and a woman. We could have a blowout win on every issue. We could have a very serious and troubling couple of decisions, or we could have things in between. But the bottom line, no matter what the court does, is that the battle for marriage is really just beginning.
Hmm. All right. How could it continue? Supreme Court, the supreme law of the land, they'd interpret the law. How can we continue this battle?
Well,
I know I want to hear you say.
Well, of course, I disagree with Charles Evan Hughes' claim that was that the Constitution means what the court says, because the Constitution has a fixed meaning, regardless of what judges say about it, that does not change. That's the originalist view of the Constitution. But clearly, depending on what the court does, there will be an ongoing battle for marriage that will grow louder and go on for a long time.
Roe v. Wade.
Well, let's say, for example, that the court rules in every way favorable to the view of marriage, that marriage between a man and a woman is upheld in Prop 8, Defense of Marriage Act is upheld. It's a blowout win for everything on the pro-marriage side. Do we think the other folks are going to go away who've mm-hmm. already spent tens of millions of dollars in litigation?
That's right.
I am confident that regardless of what the court rules, that the battle will go on. If, let's say, the court does the worst possible set of rulings it can win, is the body of Christ going to step back and say, marriage has been redefined? There was a disaster from the court in 1973 that you mentioned, Dr. Dobson, Roe v. Wade. Did the body of Christ step back and said, well, they're not human beings, they're not worth defending, and we abandon all of the unborn to the Planned Parenthood folks and to the pro-aborts? No, we engaged. And in fact, we are now learning that for the first time, the majority of college-age women are pro-life.
That's right.
There's incredible gains. The pro-life movement is having some of the best success that it's ever had, and I'm confident in my children's lifetime, Roe v. Wade will be overturned and recognized as radically unconstitutional. And we know at some point this nation is going to repent for allowing one out of six of its children to be killed by an abortionist.
Or die.
Or die.
Mm, yeah.
And so as we go in this discussion, one of the things that our ministry did, Alliance Defending Freedom, was before the oral argument, we launched a program called 9 Weeks of Prayer. And one of the things we asked people to do each week was to pray for a justice of the court by name with some specific things. And I know that Dr. Dobson, talking to you before this broadcast, Lou Ann, you might want to talk about this for a second, that Family Talk is going to post a 9 Weeks for Prayer between the time of this broadcast and the decision in June with specific prayer points every week to pray about, because the justices are deciding this case and working on the language of the decision and how it will impact America for the next generation and the generation after that, while we're even recording this broadcast and while people are listening to it. And this is a matter that needs great prayer and a great turning to our Creator.
Well, Alan, that's why we want to spearhead this effort, because I was so blessed to hear that you did that earlier this year regarding the Supreme Court's hearing on marriage. We are facing a huge moral issue with this definition of marriage, which most likely will be decided here in June, which is ironically about 8 or 9 weeks away. So we want to partner with Alliance Defending Freedom, and beginning next Monday, every week post a name of one of those 9 Supreme Court justices, and our listeners rally together and be in prayer by name specifically for that man or woman who is determining the highest court of the land here.
And the most important thing as we pray is to lift up those people and those organizations, those ministries that are going to have to continue this battle for marriage.
That's right.
You know, one of the things, Dr. Dobson, that you and I have talked about many times is weariness and about how a lot of our friends and our fellow workers in this battle get tired. And a lot of the people who've been struggling in this battle for marriage are very tired. But that's one of the things that we clearly need to pray for, is a fresh awakening and a fresh understanding of this, because the secular media, I'll even make a prediction. If we are successful, if God blesses us to win every issue, the secular media will try to make it look like a defeat.
Yeah,
they will.
And they will try to discourage all of the defenders of marriage in many ways. So one of the things that's absolutely critical for ministries like Family Talk to do is to be out there on the front lines to provide people clear understanding of what the court can do and what the court does, and then what the next steps are, because we will not abandon the battle for marriage.
We can't. Mm-mm. You can't reinterpret the scriptures.
And you can't square a circle. You know, I mean, let's get just real basic here. Marriage is marriage, and something else is something else, and squares are squares, and circles are circles, and you can't recreate it.
Alan, here in the close, I want you to cite another reason we have for optimism. I have 2 sons in college right now, and I am terribly excited about what your organization is doing for even postgraduate students called the Blackstone Fellowship. Talk about that.
Well, you know, this is one of the real blessings of our ministry, and that is a program for law students. It's a summer-long program for outstanding law students to come together to study the Constitution, to understand their faith and how you integrate your faith and your legal career, and to then get in a position to get involved and use that. And one of the things we're seeing are students going back to school standing, and even while they're still in law school, before they graduate, helping to win liberty for their fellow students who are being discriminated against on the basis of their faith.
And really, your hope is that eventually, in a few years, when an administration comes to you and says, we need to nominate conservative judges, you would have an army of conservative young men and women out there that are ready to pick up this fight.
Absolutely, Lou. And, you know, one of the things that the left, those that have differing views on liberty and the Constitution and religious freedom than those of us in this broadcast have, is they've gotten out front. They've gotten themselves involved in the educational structures, the colleges and universities, the law schools, graduate schools of this country, and they have radically changed the view of people about many of our founding principles. And one of the most exciting things for me is to see the numbers of Christians that are now engaging in assisting people to reclaim this area.
Alan, we're going so fast we can hardly take a breath here, but there are other issues that I had hoped to discuss with you when we first started. One of them that we really can't ignore is defending Christian students on college and university campuses who have been under great pressure to include people who don't share their faith in the leadership of the on-campus organizations. I didn't say that very well, but you've been fighting this battle for a long time. Explain where we stand on it.
Yeah, you know, one of the things we've done a number of programs through the years on, Dr. Dobson, and you've helped us recruit students to have the courage to stand, is to stand up against college administrators at public colleges and universities who are basically trying to shut down people of faith from living and acting and speaking about their faith. Now, the most exciting statistic I can tell you is that we've now engaged in more than 100 of these legal actions, and we have won in the 90th percentile of these cases against these major schools. One example would be Eastern Michigan University. A dear young woman, a graduate student there named Julia Ward, was studying counseling. She was in her last semester, honors student, and she was to do a practicum where she was going to provide counseling. She found out ahead of time that she was going to be asked to counsel someone regarding their homosexual relationship. She said, "I have a values conflict," and she asked for an opt-out. They told her that was not permissible. They offered her values clarification classes. When she was unwilling to do that as a Christian, she was thrown out in her last semester with almost a four-point average from the program. I'm delighted to tell you she stood. Years of litigation ensued. It was a tough fight, but the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals said tolerance is a two-way street. And Eastern Michigan University ended up paying for Julia Ward's graduate school degree from another institution.
Well, that's not a phrase we hear often.
We need to stand up and cheer on that one.
Absolutely.
Alan, we've got 1 minute left, literally. Now you have 55 seconds. Talk about the Vanderbilt nursing school case.
Well, in Vanderbilt, their application required that applicants agree as a condition of application to participate in training for abortion. I'm delighted to say that two Christian young women read this, were outraged, contacted us, and by the grace of God, we were able to reverse that in 25 hours.
Oh my goodness.
It's because of courageous people who take a stand and stand for their brothers and sisters.
Where'd the money come from for you to represent them?
Well, it came from good people like those listening to us right now. Alliance Defending Freedom is a ministry. And like every other ministry in America, it depends on the faithfulness and the generosity of God's good people.
You got 5 seconds. Is there anything else you want to say?
Please pray for us. Pray for our work. Pray for our lawyers. Pray for our clients. And pray that God will grant victory in June on the cases regarding marriage.
And all the other issues that are out there. Thank you, Alan. I appreciate it. Man, we've been on a whirlwind trip here, but it was so enlightening, and you will come back, won't you?
It's always a joy. We love you.
And Doctor, we'll be sure to link to all of the information that we discussed today from drjamesdobson.org. Listeners really do need to stay on top of what's happening in our nation's capital, especially on this religious liberty front. And Alliance Defending Freedom is an outstanding website to bookmark on your computer and return to often. And quickly, you can also find information on their Blackstone Legal Fellowship, which is their student leadership program.
and pray for their work. Mm-hmm. Like Alan just said, these lawyers donate their time and are deeply committed to representing Christians and our Judeo-Christian values in the marketplace of ideas.
And then, of course, join us as we launch into these 9 weeks of prayer specifically for the Supreme Court in these weeks leading up to that much-anticipated decision about the future of marriage here in the U.S. All across this land, we will be praying in one accord by name for each of our 9 Supreme Court justices. Ryan, I think next Monday we will begin with Associate Justice Sonia Sotomayor, and then each Monday after that, mm-hmm. we will be introducing you to another Supreme Court justice until we've covered all 9.
And as you just heard, ministries like ADF and Family Talk are nonprofit organizations totally funded by private donations. So prayerfully consider how you might give to either ADF or Family Talk, or both.
Yes.
That would be okay.
Absolutely.
So we can both boldly proclaim religious liberty on a daily basis in the spheres of influence the Lord has given us. Mm-hmm. Again, the place to start is drjamesdobson.org, the Family Talk smartphone app, or when you call 877-732-6825.
Have a great weekend attending church in your community. Maybe you can even hear Dr. Dobson speak in person this Sunday morning at First Baptist Church of Dallas. If not, we are linking to the live stream of that at drjamesdobson.org. Then return to us here Monday for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.